What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game live today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park for Titans training camp. Day number one, practice one. Everybody is here. We've been watching the wideouts, including DeAndre Hopkins, as he's been going through drills. Robbie Bourne from Titans Media Relations just asked Derek Mason if he wanted to take a couple of reps. He politely declined by saying, hell no. But we're having a good time out here watching everything going on. Willie Donick is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and has been nice enough to hang out today. But, Willie, a question that I have, and I think the Titans have the same question, they just don't know the answer to it yet, is this quarterback situation. We obviously know Ryan Tannehill is the starter. There's no debate there. And my guess is, you know, I kind of made the bold prediction that I thought Malik Willis might win the backup job. And the reason that I said that is because of the new quarterback rule, that there's really no reason to rush Will Levis, that you can carry three quarterbacks. He can be the emergency third quarterback, or Willis could, whatever. But there's no reason to rush him into something that maybe he's not ready for. But how do you – and before I get your answer, this was Mike Vrabel yesterday when asked about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that we're conscious of that. Again, I thought – Malik came out of the spring with glaring improvement. You know, Will's learning, you know, what it goes into being an NFL quarterback. And then certainly the consistency that Ryan showed in the offseason and his willingness to pick up new terminology with the offense and some of the stuff that we were doing. So, again, feel good about where we're at. Can't have too many quarterbacks. Hopefully they're all good ones and that we have tough decisions, but you know, it was fun just seeing the guys improve and then seeing where we go now starting tomorrow.
Right now for me, Willie, I have all three on the team. I think that they're not going to be able to sneak anybody through to the practice squad, which if they were going to try that, it would be Malik Willis. I don't feel confident in that. Now, you know, the game tape could tell us something different. If you know, when he gets into the preseason games and you don't see a lot of improvement, then that obviously changes this conversation. But right now I feel like that's where they're going to go, and that is a conundrum, but maybe it's a good one to be in.
Well, I think you want it to be a conundrum. That would be good news. You don't want to have, well, you know, I hope one of the guys really stinks it out because that'll make our decision easy. That you want to have tough decisions because that means you have a lot of good players. And you want to have a tough decision because other people at other position groups are doing well also. He discussed that. Rand Carthon did at his press conference this morning. He was saying, you know, every move is an important move because – and he was using A.J. Moore as an example. He said, you usually don't bring in one guy and cut another guy at the same position. You're bringing in one guy and thinking, boy, I really don't want to have to drop anybody, but I've got to drop somebody. And, you know, in this case, I think it was, a defensive lineman that they dropped to make room for AJ. So this is how roster building works. And I wish we had a little bit more time with Rand. I'm really appreciative that he came by because I'm really curious on how they do that, right? You've got position coaches all in your building. You've got scouts. You've got analytics. And you're trying to put a full roster together, and that's the important thing. So with three quarterbacks, it's not just is Malik Willis good enough, because it's such an important position. That's a big part of it, but it's also what does it do to the rest of the roster?
I'm curious too of, you know, do they eventually expand that rule? Like if I'm the one writing the rule, I'm saying you can carry 54 players, and the 54th player is a quarterback.
I agree.
And that's what it should be. And then what they've put in place now where as long as they're on the 53, you know, they can they're not active, but they can be dressed and they can become active if both quarterbacks get hurt. So I just feel like just give them an extra roster spot for that third quarterback. And I feel like it'll probably evolve to that eventually, but that would solve a lot of problems. And you would see, you know, more than just the Titans, you know, carrying three, everybody would carry three quarterbacks at that point.
Look, I've long said that this league needs to do a much better job than they do at developing quarterbacks. And that would be a way to do it. You know, one of many ways, I think, but is make sure there are three on every roster. Force every team to have three.
Yep.
I think at the end of the day, teams would like to have three. But the way the rules are, you get into these dilemmas. What's more valuable, the third quarterback or another position that you desperately need depth at because you got injury situations, you've got unique circumstances. All of these things come up. But I just would love to see better ways of getting three quarterbacks in there. So it all comes down to this is going to be a big theme of camp. We all know it. I think since the draft and since they've picked up DeAndre Hopkins and they have kept all of the veterans, you know, you didn't see some shocking move of a trade of Kevin Byard or a trade of Derrick Henry or anything like that or any heavy rumors of Ryan Tannehill. Remember, all of that was sort of up for discussion before the draft. But now the focus is a lot more on can they win the division? Can they run it back and bounce back from a terrible stretch run last year where they got decimated from injuries? You know what that does? It takes some of the spotlight off of Will Levis and Malik Willis. And so that maybe that'll be a good thing for them.
Yeah. Well, and I'm hoping that it will be. But, you know, that's just certainly a, you know, a storyline to watch as things move on of the development of the quarterbacks. Because, you know, outside of the expanding the, you know, roster to 54 with that third guy, I mean, the next step is going to be one of these spring leagues becoming a developmental league. Because I go back to, and you know, we talked about this, how beneficial it would have been for Malik Willis to be able to play in the XFL or the USFL this spring and get those game reps and then show up to training camp, you know, with that much more experience.
Oh, I've been preaching this for so long. You know this. I've driven you crazy with all this. The logistics of it.
Yeah, but I agree with it.
But I really think it would be great. I mean, imagine, too, just the focus on the league. Now, the league can sit here and say, look, man, we're the king daddy. We really don't care whether you're watching the USFL or not. We're going to be fine either way. But I do think, imagine what it would do. The Titans fan base would have been watching every game that Malik Willis would have been playing, in theory, right? You have a situation where he needs to get some games. He needs some action. That would be big TV ratings for somebody,
yeah.
Right?
Sure. Well, if the NFL
could find a way to benefit from that, then it's in their best interest to look at that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like it's not about who's watching it or TV ratings. To me, it's development because – let's just be completely honest. With, you know, some of these quarterbacks, and Malik Willis is a perfect example, college coaches, while they may say they want to, you know, they want to prepare them for the next level, they care about winning now. And so a lot of the offenses and a lot of the things that they do in college don't always translate to the NFL. And even though a guy may have that raw talent and athletic ability, and that's going to get him to the NFL, you know, some of the concepts and things that he's running in college – he's got to learn, you know, everything all over again once he gets to the league. College coaches don't care about that. So finding a kind of a middle ground for some of these guys. Now, look, Joe Burrow didn't need it. You know, there are certain guys that they don't, you know, they can step off of playing Saturdays and be ready for Sunday and there's no problem. But I think you could see a lot more quarterbacks in other positions have successful pro careers if they have kind of a stepping stone that they could get to. And, you know, maybe one day they'll get to that point.
Yeah. You see, for example, NHL teams, the Predators, if they want to put a player somewhere outside of Milwaukee, right, the NHL has an affiliate system. They have teams – you know, when they sign them, they put them, generally speaking, at the AAA level, right, the AHL. But there's also situations where there's not enough room on that team. So they find him another team to go play for. I think that's what the NFL should do. If you've got a guy or six guys that need a place to play in the offseason because they need to play, they need to rep. We need to see what these guys look like on the field, and training camp and practice just isn't enough. Then you have that available to you. That's what I think the NFL should do.
Yeah, 100% agree. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A lot of you have texted in and want to weigh in on the Titans. How are you feeling on the first day of training camp? What are some questions on your mind when it comes to the Tennessee Titans? We'll discuss that coming up next here. Chase McCabe, live today from Titans training camp, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What Tim Kelly like from having worked with him, and how much you think you can pick up on where he left off in 2019?
I think we can leave off on, I think we can start where we left off. Obviously, Tim, he wasn't calling a lot of plays when I was there, but he was still somewhat part of the offense. And Tim knows he knows me. He knows where I play. I know Tim very well. I remember when he was, just a GM running errands, and, he's came a long way, put a lot of work in, and he's very passionate about what he do, and so am I.
It was DeAndre Hopkins yesterday in his introductory press conference. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live today, Titans training camp presented by Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Cottle Vet Clinic. Chase McCabe here. Willie Donick is with me in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. As we take your calls and texts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hayden wants to weigh in on adding D-Hop to the offense. Hayden, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say this is the biggest trade we had. I think, me personally, I think it's bigger than the Julio Jones trade we had last year. Because
okay.
With the amount of weapons we have now with Treylon Burks, even though he didn't do as good last year, but his college highlights, they were, I don't even know what the word I could think of, but with Derrick Henry also, and then Tannehill, which the Tannehill situation, I don't know who they're going to start. Me personally, I think they need to start Will Lewis. And the trade, is the biggest thing ever in Titans history. And with Derrick Henry, with them, D-Hop and Derrick Henry, that's going to be the best duo ever, me personally, I think.
Well, thanks for the call, Hayden. Appreciate it. It is a signing. It's not a trade, but I understand what he's saying. I don't know if I'm ready to go biggest ever, Willie, because, I mean, we've seen quite a few in the last 25 years. If it works and it's successful, then, you can probably make an argument for that with, it being the biggest acquisition. I mean, on paper, he's one of the most talented guys to ever put on a Titan uniform, but he hasn't done it here. He's got to do it here.
Sure. I think we have to have a little perspective here. I know everybody's excited, and I know the Titans really deeply believe that this is going to be a very impactful signing. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. But if you look around the league, while it's been a big story, I think it's been a big story because there haven't been a lot of other stories in the NFL. He's been probably the biggest name out there, Hopkins has. But when you look at how it's changed predictions, it really hasn't changed the predictions at all in the AFC South. It's made a little bit of a wrinkle, for sure, but still, the Jaguars are hands down the favorite in the AFC South, and very few people, if any, are going to pick the Titans to win that division or even make the playoffs.
And right now, I would say that's true. Do you think that when we get to, the start of the regular season, and, sports radio stations and TV stations across the country are all doing their predictions, I kind of feel like some of that might change because, people are going to pay attention, whether they admit it or not, they're going to pay attention to the Titans a little bit more because of DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, they'll pay maybe a little bit more attention, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be much more hype for Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. We had this. I'll throw this at you, Chase. We're going to compile as many predictions as we can find. between now and the start of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know how many we can find. Let's see. Let's say we find two dozen, or maybe let's say 30. Out of the 30, how many do you think nationally, and I'm not counting the local media here, I'm counting national writers, will predict the Titans to win that division?
I think writers probably are going to go Jacksonville. What I'm curious of is when you have, like, different players that are, you know, now media members. Because, like, when I was watching the whole D-Hop Watch thing, I felt like a lot of the, you know, like Tim Hasselbeck and, you know, guys like that, they were looking at it as, okay, yeah, D-Hop should go to Tennessee because that's going to be the best fit for him. Whereas you had some of the writers and, you know, the Stephen A's of the world that might say, nah, you know, New England, Belichick, things like that. So I'd be curious of what the former players view it as. I mean, look, you're at the end of the day, you're going to be right. A majority are going to pick Jacksonville, and that's fine. I think Mike Vrabel thrives in that kind of situation. He didn't like to talk about it publicly, but behind closed doors, I bet it's a huge motivational tactic for his team. And he seems like the right type of guy that and coach that, you know, would say, look, nobody believes in you. What are you going to do about it?
That's an interesting angle. I don't know how many of the former players. I think there are a lot of the former players on the shows like Get Up and NFL Network. They'll probably weigh in. I would be curious to see how many of them pick the Titans over the Jags. I still say it's going to be a low percentage. I think the analytics community that does predictions is going to heavily favor the Jaguars. And that does not mean I don't think the Titans have a chance. I think I see a pathway for them to have a really good season.
Sure.
If they get a little luck with injuries and the Hopkins things work out and we can project that the older players can still do it. That's the thing that's hard for us. Like we know what Derrick Henry looks like and what he has looked like, but is he going to, will his skills erode one more level? We don't know. You know, there's so many things that we have to decide, but I still think right now, in the big picture, the Titans are a 500 team on paper right around there. And they're going to have to find ways to win those extra two or three games. And that's the beauty of this league. If things go right, you get a little luck with injuries, you get a few guys to have a good year, that can happen, no question.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you say that. You know, Jared the other day had him at 12-5. I'm not ready to go that far. Now, he's nine... Lost. You know, 8, 9, or 10, somewhere in there, that's kind of where I feel like they're at right now. You know, and I got to see more. I mean, this is one practice that they're not even wearing pads. So I can't, you know, give you – and I know what the roster looks like. I think I know what some of the guys can do, but it's going to take some time. So I agree with you. I mean, I think 500, thereabouts, is probably where they're at. But then the question is, with their schedule – with the division as a whole, you know, if Jacksonville, whatever they are, you know, are they going to put it together again? And obviously they're going to have to be better than last year because they weren't very good. They got on a hot streak, and then they end up winning the division because the Titans went on a losing streak. You know, are they going to be improved? Can 9, 10, maybe 11 wins win this division? I would say right now it probably can.
Sure. Well, and a lot of it will depend on how Jacksonville does. But let's say that it ends up being 9-8 or 8-9. Let's just say 9-8. Not a bad year. Nine and eight, better than last year, but falling short of the playoffs. Then what? I think that will be a major question if you end up doing this and it gets you 9-8. Maybe you could have made a few more moves to look at the future. I still think a lot of people will say, look, it was worth a shot to run it back and do this, but it will set up some major decisions for next year. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
7-3-7.
How would you feel about that? 9-8.
I'd feel okay with it.
There's a lot of range, right? They can go a lot of different ways, but there's a lot of range that says this team's going to be right around that range. 8-9
wins. I mean, look, I'd feel okay with it because I think, you know, 9-8, who knows? That could potentially get you in the playoffs. I mean, it might win the division, you know. So
I would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be
at
tough.
9-8. Now you win 10, then I think you got a shot. I think you're going to be right on the edge.
Nine and eight is to get into
the range.
9-8 is the old 8-8, basically. You know, it's kind of, I guess, how you look at it. But So then. If they do that, then it raises the questions of, okay, do you turn the keys over to Will Levis? Is he the guy? You would have D-Hop for one more year. I mean, I guess you could get out of it, but you know, in theory, you would have D-Hop for another year. Where is Treylon Burks at this point? Do you try and run it back with Derrick Henry with Will Levis? I mean, those are all questions that we would be asking in the next offseason. 615-737-1025. More of your calls and texts on the Titans. Coming up next is we're live today from Titans training camp here at 102.5, 106.3, the game. Titans training camp live today, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Permanent Energy, and Caudill Vet Clinic. Chase McCabe here. Willie Donick is in Baton Rouge hanging out today, as his son playing a little baseball. Let's go back to the phones. A lot of people want to weigh in on the Titans. You can call or text at 615-737-1025. Unnamed texture says, no way they go 9-8. They will win 10 with this roster, and yes, the one game matters. So
the
confident texture.
Everything.
No,
game is everything. One of the things I like about how some of the analytics sites do it. I'll give you an example. You know, Football Outsiders that I look at a lot. They put sort of a percentage, because every team, like even the best teams, there's a percentage chance that it just falls apart. Right? I mean, the New York Mets in baseball, if you look at every analytics site, everybody had them for at least 90 wins, but it's fallen apart.
Right.
Because that happens in sports. That's why you play the games. So even whoever you consider the best team, let's say the Chiefs, there's a chance that it could go awry. If Patrick Mahomes misses six games and they get a bunch of injuries elsewhere, that's the thing about the NFL, especially with the salary cap. You can hit the skids. The NHL Stanley Cup champion, Las Vegas, they didn't even make the playoffs the year before because they got so many guys hurt. So that's why I love sports in general, but especially when you have a salary cap, everybody's got a shot. And that's why Mike Vrabel, I think, philosophically does not believe in rebuilds at all, and that clearly was the case here. So that there absolutely is a scenario they can win 10, 11, and I'll even say on the high side, 12 is not out of the realm, but I don't think it's likely, but I think it could happen if everything falls together. That happens to somebody. Somebody in the league each year has a year like that where everything just seems to go right.
Willie, the most important drill of the day is taking place right now, and I'm going to say this every day through training camp, and that is field goal. Yeah.
Let the competition begin.
Yeah. Shudak. I feel like he's the guy. He's who they want. He's a little guy too. But that he's who they want to win this battle, and I think that the hope is you kind of find, like they did with Rob Baronis and, you know, years before, you find that guy that can be your guy for 10 years or more.
That's what you're hoping for. This is the great what if. Like, Shudak was the guy that got injured in the preseason game last year, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So there are a lot of people that believe that he would have been their guy had that not happened. And so that's what we'll never know, is what would have happened if he kicked. Because as you know, Chase, you can look really good in the preseason and be the darling. Hey, didn't miss a single kick in the preseason. And the first couple of games, you make your first couple of field goals. And then that big moment comes where you miss your first big kick, and it happens to all the kickers. Then what happens? It's like the closer that gets the job for the first time, and he gets his first six or seven save opportunities, and he nails them. And then you have a couple of rough outings. Well, how do you react? Because that's really the key to sticking as a kicker, is being able to bounce back from when it doesn't go right. So there's so many things you don't know about a new kicker, and that's the tough part. That's why it'll forever be the mystery, because so many people love to fall back on a veteran that's been there.
I wish you could see this right now. So while they do this, both kickers are taking a chance. Coach Jarrett is standing in the back of the end zone wearing red and
of course
holds his arms up, you know, every time.
Is it
good.
A Louisville? Is it a Louisville shirt? Because remember,
no, it's
Jarrett
just
was scouting for Louisville last year.
No, it's just hard time. It's just a red t-shirt, like he's a secondary coach or something, but he is Coach Jarrett right now. I mean, both kickers are
he's not holding like neon flags or anything, like pointing the direction of the wind or anything like that.
I know he's holding a notepad, so he's making notes on the kickers. But let's go to Adam in Portland. He wants to weigh in on Titans wide receivers. Adam, what's up?
This might be more mentally challenging than the actual kicks. I think that's what Jared's trying to do. He's trying to make it tougher for these guys than it will be in the actual game.
I'm just trying to
put pressure on, scribbling notes, like threatening to say mean things on the air about you. You know, this is gonna harden up these kickers mentally.
I'm just waiting for Vrabel to go tackle him. I just want to see that one time.
Oh, that's going to happen.
Adam, what's up?
They do the old thing where they tape the guy to the goalpost.
Bruce Matthews.
That did used to happen. I'm not sure if you're allowed to do that anymore, but they did do that back in the day.
Adam, what's up?
Yeah, if I was a field goal kicker, I would not want to see Jared down there. Like I would ask for them to take him away if it was me. I don't know. But, this is what I'm thinking about, man. I think the DeAndre Hopkins signing, not to beat a dead horse, but it was so important just because you guys had me thinking. I was listening to you last year, same exact time, and you know what the storyline was that I remember, Chase?
McMath
is running behind defenses. Racy McMath is like our hope. See, did he even catch a ball last year? Like that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like it was so like weak and puny. Our wide receiver room was so just dying, dude. It was thirsty, and I just felt like we needed a stud. We needed somebody who was at least proven of like, all right, if you have an important moment, you can at least have a good reason to throw to this guy. But Racy McMath being our storyline coming out of camp, you called him a camp darling. We can't lean on a guy like that anymore this year, man.
Thanks, Adam. Racy McMath, 2 catches, 40 yards, and one of those was 39. So that was his stat total last year.
I think you could go through every year and bring up something that he just brought up.
Sure.
I think that 100% happens. We get very caught up in things. Last year, another one you could use was Dylan Radins. How much did we gave so much airtime to a guy that basically never panned out, never played, wasn't going to play? You know, just I don't know. You know, just it happens to us. But that's how we roll.
Back to the phones. Wes in Hermitage wants to talk about the battle for the AFC South. Wes, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to start this off really, really quick, and I want to ask both of y'all's opinion on this. Go back to the playoffs this past season. Did the Chargers lose that game, or did the Chargers win that game, or did the Jaguars you know what I'm trying to say. Did the Jaguars win the game, or did the Chargers lose it, in both of y'all's opinion?
You know, it's funny that, Chase, because that game was on in our studio the other day on Monday, and we watched it again. And it was 27-0 in favor of the Chargers. They had total control of the game late in the first half. And if you just watched it and you turned off the TV and you didn't know what game that was, you're like, oh, the NFL Network is showing the Chargers, showing how great Justin Herbert is. By the way, how about Justin Herbert's deal?
Woo-hoo! Yeah, I know. We haven't talked about that. We needed to get into
dollars.
That. But
But it was amazing that they lost that game. I don't know how that happened.
The Chargers lost the game. I mean, it's just like the Titans lost the division. I mean, we got a texter a few minutes ago, and this puts it all into perspective. Wes in Clarksville, that was Wes in Hermitage. Wes in Clarksville says, just think if our kicker would have made that field goal in the Giants game last year, we would have won the AFC South. I mean, that's how close it was. You know, that you have a couple of plays here or there that – decided the outcome of a game, that if they had won one more game, then the Titans probably would have won the division. And so I look at it as with Jacksonville, that's why I want to see, them actually put it all together. And I think Trevor Lawrence is a heck of a quarterback. He's very, very talented. But they didn't win that playoff game. The Chargers lost it. And I don't think they won the division. The Titans lost the division. That's how I view it.
Well,
and I think a lot of people
can all view it that way, but the Jaguars lost a ton of close games too. A ton of them earlier in the season. And I was pointing out, Chase, I will remind you again, I was the guy, you were laughing at me when I was saying this, like, hey, the Jaguars, statistically, the Jaguars were way better than the Titans last year, way better. So don't overlook that.
Coming up next, we will get into Justin Herbert and his deal and the trickle-down effect that that is going to have moving forward. And also, there was another long-term deal yesterday by a team that I really, really like that I'm not so sure about that. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase McCabe live today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park for Titans training camp as our coverage presented by Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Caudill Vet Clinic. Right now, though, as we head to the break, caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Clutch with Dinosaur at the Ryman Auditorium on July 31st, 615-737-1025. Clutch at the Ryman Auditorium on July 31st, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Live today, Titans training camp, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe here, Willie Donick in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Willie, it is kind of like the first day of school. You run into people you haven't seen in a while, and as the team on the field for the first time, everybody's happy. And also, which is very rare, because you know this, you've been out here a lot. Usually, it can be cloudy all around Nashville, and the sun is just beating down on the practice field. That is actually not the case right now. It is a cloud cover, so a little breeze doesn't feel too bad out here on the practice field.
Very nice. I like that for the first day of school. You got to love the first day of school. But, that fifth, sixth, seventh day of school when you start getting that first round of assignments, dude, that's when reality check comes in.
So the Chargers have signed Justin Herbert to a five-year extension, $262.5 million, which includes, let me find the guarantee. He's the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history. What are the guarantees? I was trying to find the guarantees. I just lost that. But anyway, what did you think of that? Because, look, I think Justin Herbert is very, very talented, and I think my initial thought is I think it's more the coach and the team than it is the quarterback. But I was a little surprised that, it was this kind of a deal at this point. I thought maybe they were $218.7 million in guarantees. I thought maybe they would wait a little longer, but I guess they wanted to get this done before Joe Burrow.
I think that's probably some of it. He was going to get paid. He's just too good. You can't not do it if you're the Chargers. My first thought is they've got to be kicking themselves that they haven't won more during his first contract, because that's when you have a massive opportunity to win in the NFL, is when you have a quarterback on the first contract that isn't making that kind of money yet. You know he's going to, but when you don't win during that window, that makes it tougher. Now, the Chargers, who have bungled all kinds of chances, they've underachieved, they've just missed this game, they've just missed that game. We just talked about their playoff game last year. Now they've got to do it in the future. Now, this year, he's still under the contract. But once that extension kicks in and his cap figure goes way up and you have less money to address the rest of the roster, it becomes more difficult to win.
Yeah. There was another signing yesterday that wasn't a quarterback that I want to – and it's my team, the Cowboys. You guys know I'm a Cowboys fan. Trayvon Diggs, five-year extension, $97 million, max value of $104 million. I like Trayvon Diggs. I think he's talented. I think that's too rich for him. I mean, that's a Jerry signing if I've ever seen it. But I was like, I saw that, and I'm like, I think they're going to regret that before it's all said and done.
That one's hard for me because I'm not as much of an evaluator of Diggs' value. I would defer to some of the other guys out there with to say that, but I would say, and you know this, Chase, Jerry Jones does pay his top guys. He doesn't let those guys go. There's almost never a question of, well, you know, the Cowboys just didn't want to pay for X guy or Y guy. So I admire him for that. It hasn't translated into playoff success on the level that he wants to. But that is how they're going to win. I think it's going to be a great race in the NFC East. Can the Cowboys unseat the Eagles? I think the Cowboys will be very good. And we know sometimes if you have a season where everything goes right, like it did for the Eagles, that next season it doesn't tend to be as easy.
What is this? D-Mace showing me a – is that here?
That's in New York.
Oh, in New York? D-Mace just showed me a video of a crane collapsing down in Hell's Kitchen in New York. Wow. Hope everybody is okay with that. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Practice is starting to wrap up. Arden Key is going to join Junie Riddle and D-Mace coming up at 11 o'clock.
Excellent.
So be interested to hear from him. And look, he, no pun intended, is a key piece to the defense because you get rid of Bud Dupree. I like Arden Key. I thought that, you know, he may not have been the same level as Bud Dupree with Jacksonville last year, but I think he can certainly help this pass rush. So I thought that was a really nice signing by Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel.
I think he is an important guy. And it's the type of move that if it hits, you'll have the analytics department saying, see, I told you. Can you imagine if they get more production out of Arden Key than they did last year from Bud Dupree? And that is absolutely realistic, don't you think?
Yeah,
and it will be for
100%.
a fraction of the cost. That's really the name of the game when you're roster building.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's certainly what they're going to have to do. As a, you know, they tweak, and that's one thing that I used that phrase with Rand Carthon earlier. He's tweaking the roster. That's what you do this time of year. You look around, you see who's still out there, or there's some veterans, you know, because the offensive line is one that, you know, is still going to have to be addressed at some point. Now they like some guys here, you know. Jared likes to use the word Scarbini. I'm not going to go that far. Just because you've never heard of a guy doesn't make them a Scarbini. But, you know, there are a lot of unproven guys. And, you know, we've seen in times in the past where there have been guys that, you know, maybe you've never heard of and don't know what they're about. And all of a sudden they show up and you go, oh, okay. Now I understand what they saw in them. And, you know, that's what they're looking for with the offensive line. But I still think there could be some veterans out there. Maybe guys get cut, you know, towards the end of camp that they could bring in to help the depth of the offensive line, because they're certainly going to need that without Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Well, whatever label you want to put on it, all right? He uses the term Scarbinis. I mean, I wouldn't use that, but let's just say no names. There are guys that our listeners will have never heard of, right? Unless you are an ex-NFL scout, maybe there's three listening, or former college coach that might know one or two of these guys. You know what I'm saying? That's a huge part of success in the NFL, is finding the no-names that end up being the right fit, because you are going to run out of money. You can't throw money at every position. That's why analytics are so important, talent evaluation is so important, and understanding what fits your system. So I'm hoping that the continuity works. And the biggest question mark is the offensive line on this team now, don't you think? And it's not even close.
Oh,
tell me how the offensive line plays, and I'll tell you a lot of how far this team is going.
Yeah, I mean, it probably was wide receiver at one point, but now it's for sure offensive line. I mean, there's no doubt that that's what it is. That, you know, is this offensive line fixed? Has it been fixed, you know, without Petit-Frere? What do they got to do there? And then, you know, and then the other things I think are on further on down the list. But we'll just see how it all shakes out for sure. Coming up next, it is Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline We'll return tomorrow. Willie, I know you got dad duties. Are you hanging around for a little bit, or you got to go?
I am rolling, and hopefully if all goes well, I will see you guys back in the studio tomorrow.
Sounds good. Looking forward to that. D-Mace, Junie Riddle filling in. They're next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.